Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. It is so good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. It's also good to have Chris here.
Hello.
It's also good to have Sarah here.
It's great to be here.
And it's great for me to be here too as well, everybody. Now, earlier this month, we had World Kindness Day on the 13th of November. I was unaware of this, to be perfectly honest with you.
Missed me too.
It's in my diary.
Yes, I just about missed it, but we're going to make up for lost time there. And it's a day that was first launched 21 years ago by the World Kindness Movement.
Makes sense, yeah. Name checks out.
Big movement.
The aim of the day, is to highlight our good deeds in our community, cities and nations, and to place further focus on the positive power and common thread of kindness. Of course, everybody enjoys kindness from loved ones and friends and so on. Some of us have even enjoyed kindness from strangers. So I put it to you, good people, how important are acts of kindness?
Well, I mean, it feels quite an obvious question. You know, everyone would say, well, kindness, of course kindness is important.
Yeah.
But even I think quite small things cannot be really transformative. So I have a story where actually recently, basically 2019. Not been a good year for me. There's been lots of bereavements and health problems, all kinds of things. It's not been a good year.
You've had it quite tough, to be fair.
Yeah, it's not been ideal. Yeah. And the most recent thing was, very sadly, my grandfather died. I was helping to organise the funeral service. It was in this tiny little church up in the middle of nowhere. And so this piece of music that we wanted played had to be on a CD. We needed two copies of it and had to be on CDs. Now, I could not find this piece of music on a physical CD anywhere. All over the internet. I trawled eBay. I did everything. I could not find it. And I was like, I'm going to let my family down. I'm going to let my granddad down.
I'm assuming you've got a new computer that doesn't have a CD drive.
No,
you can
no
burn
one does. Yeah, I definitely don't have a burner. Like, yeah. It's
old school.
Exactly. Like, I used to make myself little mixtapes, mix CDs when it was, you know, I don't know, 2005.
Yeah, check up the school bus.
Yeah, exactly.
But people who were like CD burners were like law-abiding citizen drug dealers, almost.
That's
not many people. I think I knew one person who could burn CDs.
Could you? It was great.
You were a CD
burner. I used to make mix CDs.
Right.
It was so good.
Yeah,
and just copy my friends. Like, now that's what I call music.
Yeah. Oh, naughty!
I think stuff like that is illegal, actually. So.
Oh God! Oh yeah. No! Sorry, guys. Please don't pass this on.
Sorry now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, and I was getting more and more frustrated. And obviously, like, you know, it's a sad time. Mm-hmm. There's been lots of other things going on. And I thought, I'm going to let everyone down. I'm going to let my granddad down. Mm. And I was getting really quite upset. So in the end, I did what every good millennial does when they've got a problem they can't solve. And I tweeted about it.
I knew you were going to say that.
And a few people said,
Twitter's
like,
become like our parents. What do I do?
It really has, yeah. And I
very angry parents.
Hang on, but Chris, you and I aren't millennials, Belle.
Sorry, Chris. And a lot of people replied and said, oh, you just need to burn it. And I was like, this is the problem. I haven't got a burner. I haven't got it anymore.
Yeah. You're not a burner dealer anymore.
Not anymore. I put those days behind me.
Yes.
I'm a law-abiding citizen now. And a person who I have met, I think once, I think we were at a comedy night together, replied to me and said, hey, sorry, I've got a burner. I've got loads of, you know, spare CDs.
Meet me down the alleyway.
Yeah. I'm in a big trench coat.
Just full of like empty CDs.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you can have, you know, any colour.
Fake cigarettes.
Yeah. But fair play to her. She went away. She burnt me two copies of this CD. She sent it off.
That's
for me
amazing.
And everything. And so at my granddad's funeral, we got to play the piece of music that we wanted him to be sort of wheeled out to. And it was a really touching moment. And it meant so much to my family.
Mm. Yeah.
And this, you know, I tried to pay her postage. She was having none of it.
Oh, that's amazing.
So kind.
But as you say, for her, it was probably a small act. But for you, the impact was great.
Honestly, it really lifted my spirits in what has been, frankly, a horrendous time.
Yeah. Mm. Small acts of kindness or any act of kindness is very important.
Yeah.
And that's an obvious thing to say. People think, well, clearly they're important.
Yeah.
But actually, I think if we realise their importance, we do them more.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, even a kind word can make or break your day, can't it? And it might just be a small thing.
Oh, yeah.
As well as the bigger things that go on as well. I had one once where I was living in America and I was on a visa, an M1 visa, which means you could not work. because I was in a training college. Mm-hmm. And then I...
You made a few quid burning CDs over.
Yeah, that's how I made my money.
You missed a trick.
And then my girlfriend, who's I'm now married to, my wife, she was coming to visit and I didn't have much money. But what was amazing is that a friend who I'd kind of not known for very long used to work for Disney and was just like, oh, I've got you 2 free tickets to Disney. And then a day later, someone else said, oh, I've got a car you can borrow if you need a car for 2 weeks. And I was just getting these, like within a week, this whole holiday had been sorted out. And I didn't have the money, but it was just,
that's
I was massively so blessed.
Nice.
But you claimed it all, didn't you?
Yeah.
In front of you,
exactly.
Hence she married you.
You let her think that you were absolutely loaded.
Yeah.
That you planned this like incredible trip for her.
It was the most blessed like holiday ever. Even down to like, the bit of money I had, I really wanted to stay in a fancy hotel in Miami. And we got to the front desk and we got there and they bumped us up like to an amazing suite for completely free. So it was definitely one of those weeks where you're just like, someone's smiling down on me. But it was just like, I mean, I was whatever, 32 or something, or 31, going to Disney, having the time of my life. But it was brilliant.
Fun at Disneyland.
I'm 40 in a few years. I definitely want to go to a theme park for my 40th birthday.
Oh, big time.
It'd be brilliant.
Yeah, I think those sort of individual acts of kindness. But some places, the kindness is a part of the more the sort of the community spirit. I quite like this one. I was having a little look. Say, do you know, have you ever heard of a Cafe Suspresso?
No.
Forgive pronunciation now, but I think it's cafe. apparently, this is a tradition in working class cafes of Naples. I mean, any cafes in Naples, I guess, would be under working class if everyone's ever been there. And it's where a person who has experienced good luck financially. This is the kind of the ethos of it. If someone's got an extra few quid in their pocket, they pay for 2 coffees or 2 espressos, whatever they do. Because obviously in Italy, often with espressos, the culture is you do pop in, you neck it almost like a shot, and then you're off. You're in.
It's just a caffeine boost.
Yeah, it really. Yeah, yeah. It's very culturally.
It's not for sitting and relaxing over an espresso there.
But of course they do that with coffee and so on. A different culture to that kind of approach there. So you pay for two. But of course, you only receive one because you say that you're doing the old espresso, and so the second one is sort of pending, if you like. And then if someone who's maybe a bit down on their luck walks in the shop and they'll say, "Is there a espresso available?" And they'll say, "Well, actually, there is. There you go," and they get a free one.
And I like that's kind of baked into kind of just how things work. It, there's not like a shame in going in and saying, have you got any? Like, it's they're not just going in and randomly asking for a free coffee. It's like someone's paid for that, and yeah, I think that's really nice.
Yeah, no,
when I lived in the States, there was a pizza place, and you'd go there, and I think it was after 9 o'clock on a Friday night, it'd be $1 a slice, and people did that similar thing, that pay it forward. So you chuck in like $5 behind, and you'd only have 3 slices, and then the person behind you would get the option: do you want this, or do you want to pay it back? And I remember once we watched how far down the queue it would be because people were like, no, it's fine. Let someone else have it, and it just became this thing where
it's funny when it snowballs, isn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing, and
it is catching. I think.
And my wife and I, we visited it again last year, and I remembered that. I was like, oh, let's do it again. So then
the pizza place if they're doing good.
I can't remember. It was just, it was an independent place in Reading in Northern California.
Right. Okay.
Dollar Life. Everyone knows where it is because it's not a very big town, but it was brilliant. And like, you do feel really good because you're just like, oh, like it's a couple of dollars, which isn't, you know, to some people is a lot, to other people it's not. And you just feel really good thinking someone's going to get blessed out of this.
But we actually, so I put a little call out on the gram.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, I'll never say the gram. That's cringy,
just
wasn't
so
it?
Just so cool.
Revoke my millennial status after that. on Instagram. And quite a number of people said that people had got them free coffees. And Ro Wilson said, I had the customer in front of me pay for my breakfast in Pret. So I did the same to the next person.
There you go.
So
I was like, it catches on.
Yeah, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need that person to be the first one. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it too.
Yeah.
I did get a free sandwich in Pret once and I didn't pay on. I just went, thanks very much. Took the money and ran.
Because you're selfish.
Classic Marcus.
And I haven't reformed. And I don't think kindness is that important. I got a free sandwich and Pret once. Yeah, they're pretty good for that.
Lots of free Pret coffees. I do think the Pret people, a number of people said, oh, I got free Pret coffee.
Pret are well drilled.
But they have a thing where like each, I think it's that each barista each day gets like 5 free coffees.
Yes.
Oh, really?
I've never been offered one.
I did once.
They're really good in terms of giving food away at the end of the day to good causes as well, actually.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. I mean, Pret, if you're listening, you want to sponsor us, then that's great. We're giving you enough airplay.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What about you, Spelzy?
Yeah, I am. Well, I had a funny one.
Do you
where
like kindness?
I think kindness is brilliant, mate. I think. Yeah, I once. I know what you mean. I think when you have that, when people have been kind to you and all the rest of it, you do that sort of pay it forward thing. But it just becomes second nature.
Yeah.
And actually,
yeah,
you do think to yourself, if someone is, you hear about people in the supermarket or the person in front of you needs a fiver or they need, even if it's just a couple of quid. Unfortunately, because of the scare, I think there'd be a number of reasons here, but one of them I would think would be the scaremongering of certain media outlets of saying, you know, be on your guard because everyone's a murderer.
Mm.
And
or a scrounger.
Or a scrounger, yeah.
Scamming you.
Yeah, no one should be given anything for free. I think that kind of, when you really get into the nuts and bolts of the extreme end of what a friend of mine would call turbo sort of capitalist idea of
yeah,
you only have what you've earned. And if you haven't got anything, you haven't earned it and you're a yeah, lazy so-and-so.
You deserve it. You're, exactly. You haven't got it because you're lazy.
Completely. Now, look, personal responsibility is very important and blah, 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 blah. But come on, there's a little bit more nuance there for crying out loud, no matter where in the political spectrum you fall. And so if you do see someone who is just needs a quid
yeah,
or a couple of dollars, or as you say, with yeah, a pizza or whatever, you just, well, yeah, fine. Like, that doesn't...
Yeah.
And if they have taken the piss out of you there, or they have mugged yeah, you off or whatever, oh, well.
So what?
Yeah. That's yeah, that's up to them. And so, yeah, so it was I was... I think it was going to the cinema or something, whatever it was the cinema, and we parked up, and it was an old one of the, because nowadays you can pay with card, of course, in most places, but it was an old-fashioned machine
yeah,
because if people are like, oh, I haven't got any change, oh bloody hell, I can't pay for the thing. And I think it was only £1 or something like that, or £2, and this guy was just in front of me, and I had a few pound coins in my pocket, so I was,
you came well prepared,
and I was okay, thank you very much. Drawbridge up, he was left there.
You paid a quid and got his ticket.
Exactly. Well, no, but what happened was, he was, oh, we haven't got enough, so I actually just leaned over and put £1 in the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even ask him. That's how
you arrogant
I am.
That's how arrogant I am with my kindness. I'll take it from here, losers. And so old Captain Kindness stepped in, put his pound in the thing, and I went, there you go, you got your ticket, sort of thing. And he was oh, thank you very much. And I was like, no bother, it's £1.
People,
you know,
they're quite shocked when it happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, so that happened, and you know, I was the hero, and then and then I paid for our ticket, of course. And then he went off into the cinema, and I went off. And in the foyer, he was there, sort of waiting for me, and in a non-aggressive way, baseball bat in hand. No, he was waiting for me, and I went, "Oh, you're right." And he just went, "No, no, that was really kind what you did. That was really, really nice."
Aww.
No, no, he gave me £2, and I said, "No, no, really, went, no, no, I want you to have that. That was really good of you. You know, it was really nice of you. I want you to have
Where
that."
Where did you get it from? He mugged someone else to give it to you.
Well, I
he'd finally broken the £10 buying popcorn.
Yeah, maybe that was what it was. I think there was maybe a cash point that yeah, he got money and then spent on popcorn or whatever. So I actually made £1. From that,
kindness pays.
And what I'm trying to say to people is for crying out loud, ladies and gentlemen, we give to receive. That is the moral. No, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but it was funny though. I remember thinking to myself, "Blimey, I've made £1 there."
Yeah. But kindness is probably more about the giver than the receiver, isn't it? You do it because yeah, of who you are, not because the other person necessarily deserves it or even know that.
Yeah,
so it's actually nothing to do with it. So if they are scamming you, so what? It's nothing to do with them.
I've lost 2 quid. Well, there we are.
Yeah, but it is about the giver. You're right. And I think some people, they don't like to receive acts of kindness, or they're a bit suspicious, because there'll be, again, a plethora of reasons, and it could be, goodness knows what goes on in people's minds, you know, a lack of trust for people because their trust has been worn away in whatever area, or blah, 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 blah. But some people, there's almost a pride thing of, I'm not in control of the situation.
Yeah.
Mm. You think of like the old, you being a trainee vicar, Chris, I'm speaking your language here, the old sort of, you know, go the extra mile.
Yeah.
Go the extra mile. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here.
I will.
Yeah.
He's got his Bible out, he's checking it against it.
Well, no, but go the extra mile was a Roman soldier.
Indeed.
Could grab a non-Roman citizen.
Yeah.
So they were occupying Israel back in the time this was written,
yeah,
and they could grab anyone, and they'd have a heavy load or bag with them, and they would say, "I want you to carry this a mile."
Yeah,
and that was written into law essentially.
Yeah, they legit could do that.
Yeah, and yeah. Jesus would say, well, I'll tell you, go the extra mile.
Yeah.
And people would be like, well, why? But of course, then the power shifts. And it's not yeah. about power in the sort of traditional sense.
But it was. He was passively resisting Rome by doing that.
That's what it was.
So it was. So you can make me go a mile, but I'm going to choose to go the extra mile. You have no choice in this.
Yeah.
So it was
yeah.
actually take back control.
And it's weird.
Not to use that slogan. Jesus never said that. Oh, no.
What have you done?
We can do it. We can do it, as it says in the Book of Mark. But they always say, you know, which would have been the more interesting mile. Now, I know people go, oh, yeah, brilliant. You've got more of the power, yet that guy's got his bag taken an extra. You have to look at the more, it's a deeper kind of teaching than that, of course. Interesting. I had a funny one. This was quite recent, actually, where I was at Clapham Junction Station, which, for those not in London, it's in South London. But the signs up say it prides itself being Britain's busiest railway station.
Oh, great.
Is what it says. So
brilliant.
It's tons of platforms, very, very busy station. And there was a woman who was on the train with me, and she had this chest of drawers. And it was quite. Oh, no, it gets weirder. She has
a child in one of the drawers.
Big chest of drawers. You're not a million miles away. A big chest of drawers, and she had a couple of, you know, that those sort of little cage things that you might sort of transport a cat around or a rabbit or something.
Yeah.
So she had a couple of rabbits with her and all this. Anyway, she'd just been saying that she'd been at some rabbit convention and all this kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, this is quite interesting.
Popped into IKEA on the way home.
Yeah, maybe. And so she gets off at the station, and I was looking at this woman thinking, like, there's no way you're going to be able to lug all those rabbits and that chest of drawers up these stairs, because there's a lot of stairs. In fact, some of them, the lift access is not there in some of the platforms, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, where are you going? I'll help you. So I was lugging this chest of drawers, and it was heavy, and I was really struggling with it. Anyway, we get there, and then she was saying, oh, yeah, no, I've got a load of more rabbits at this thing. And I was like, okay. And I was like, what are in these drawers? And I opened them. There's loads of rabbits in there. Loads of rabbits.
That was how she moved their rabbits around.
Madness, isn't it?
That is incredible.
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, the rabbits are fine. They're having a lovely time.
So what you got out of that experience was...
A weird story.
Was just a great
story. That was my act of kindness.
Back to what you were saying, though. Mm. Why do you think people do struggle to receive acts of kindness?
Because I think sometimes there's a pride thing of not being in control. And it's a bit like people who... No, I don't know. I was about to say it's a bit like those who sometimes struggle to receive a compliment, but I think that might be different, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's more, you know, people say, oh, I don't want charity. I don't want people to think I can't handle things by myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like if someone tries to pay for your parking ticket or whatever, it's like, I do have the money. Like, I don't want you to think I'm a scrounger. I don't want you to think this. And obviously, like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, being in need. Like,
yeah.
It's not your fault.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with receiving... genuine chat. I mean, when I was in sort of like mid to late teens, I would sometimes, whether it be after school or on a Saturday, go when Wimbledon, the tennis was on at the All England Club in Wimbledon, the championships.
You pop down for a game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think I was the British number four at the time, and as we all were. And what often people do there is at Wimbledon. It's a phenomenal day out, Wimbledon. It really is, and you can go in. A lot of the courts are sometimes free in the earlier rounds. But then, of course, centre court is the showpiece, and court number one. And I don't know if they still do this. I mean, it was, you know, 20-odd years ago, whatever, when I went. But you would stand in the kind of the grounds, if you like, of the court, of the stadium, really. And people... it is quite sickening if you watch it on home. They often leave after the second game. There's usually three games on.
Yeah.
And so you have like a half-full... centre court or something, you think, oh, come on, loads of people would love to see that. So lots of people pour out after the second game, and I would literally just stand there and go, any ticket, anyone want to donate their ticket? Do you know what I mean? Now, I know you can do it officially now.
Yeah.
They can donate that and then the money goes to charity. But I think at the time, whether that was a thing or not, I don't know. It wasn't as widely known.
Yeah.
But I would stand there, and then you would get some kind soul just go, there you go, there's my ticket. Aww. And then you would get in and see.
But you didn't have anyone then go, no, I don't want it. I'm not charitable.
Yeah.
I'd set up my stall very much as
I need charity here.
Because we Brits do love a freebie as well, though. That's where there's a bit of a dichotomy there, isn't there?
I think everybody does, but you know what? I do also think, I wonder if there's, without getting too sort of philosophical, there's a thing to be said about kind of the breakdown a little bit of community.
Oh, and massively.
We're not used to people, you know, your next door neighbour coming round and bringing you something because we don't know our neighbours.
Yeah, but this is, you're talking about London here.
Yeah.
I think other parts of the country, that would be the case.
I got new neighbours. They're French. They came around with some crepes straight away.
The scene is so typically French.
It was lovely.
I loved the guy wearing black and white stripes and garlic.
Yeah, you know, he did. I loved it. I was just like, do you know what? I wouldn't have wanted anything else.
That's class.
That is so amazing. It was amazing.
That is very good.
Yeah. But no, I do. I just think there's something kind of about... It's quite an intimate thing to be given a gift or to be sort of rescued from a situation which is a bit tricky.
Yeah.
And I think we just are naturally these days quite suspicious of that.
Do we struggle to be vulnerable then? There's this thing of like, is it seen as weakness for me to admit that I need and I, you know.
Well, people say kindness is a weakness.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I mean, some acts of kindness can often be life or death. You know, I know we've largely talked about things that make us feel good. And I think the day-to-day, that generally is. I remember seeing something, it was a news bulletin, it might have been a little while ago now. It was a priest in America, in Southern America, who would go around and he set up these sort of, if you like, water stations in the desert. And he would fill them up regularly where people, he knew that people would try and cross the US-Mexico border.
Yeah.
And people would die of heat exhaustion and die of because they didn't have any water for days and so on. And he was just a bit like, look, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to happen. Now, some people might argue you're encouraging. He's not encouraging for crying out ruddy loud. Going,
oh, don't worry. Yeah, there's that one guy who's stashed a few bottles of water.
Have you heard about the guy who sticks out water bottles? Oh, well, therefore, that's us. Yeah. You know, that's clearly not the case. But he would go around and say, look, this is going to happen. And if... He said, I would rather someone enter our country illegally than them to die in the desert.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he would go around and fill these places up with water where there's sort of known pathways and so on and so forth. And it was a matter of life and death. Of course, some acts of kindness I find rather nauseous. The free hugs business. You've seen that?
No.
I think that's kind of... There was a lot of that a while ago. I know what you mean. It's literally people standing around holding a sign saying free hugs.
Yeah. It's like, well, when did hugs become expensive? Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry. I find that pretty. That is where, you know, I'm going to argue
against this.
Oh, go on. All right then.
I've never done it, and I. But
nor should you.
We read all the time. We're in the middle of a loneliness endemic in this country. It's something like, I think the BBC had a report, 86% of millennials who should be in the prime of their life in your 20s and having fun, feel lonely on a regular basis.
Yeah, what they need is some wacky bloke to give them a hug, don't they?
Some people actually, that might be quite a nice thing during the day. If you live on your own, you're disconnected from family, you know, you're quite lonely, actually having some non-weird physical contact, like a normal hug, might be a really nice thing for the odd person.
Yeah, okay.
And it is often done in conjunction with kind of it's good to talk kind of things and that sort of stuff. Marcus is just like, don't ever come near me.
Doesn't that make you feel better?
Well, I had to pay fiver for that though. Okay, all right.
Boys,
all right. I'm being a bit, you know, fair enough. But yeah, I mean, this was a wonderful act of kindness. Have you ever heard of the film called It Could Happen to You? It was in the sort of early mid-90s. Nicolas Cage, Bridget Fonda starred in it.
Go on.
Nicolas Cage plays a New York City cop and Bridget Fonda plays a waitress.
I do remember it.
Okay. No. I have not seen
my age, isn't it? No.
Yeah, well, I've not seen it, but I remember it. Well, this is based on a true story where it was based on two people where this actually happened, although much of what happens in the film after the main event.
License.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But the two real people were actually friends, and they were not married, but they were married to other people very happily, apparently. And this guy would go into the diner or wherever the setting was, and he didn't have enough to give a tip to his friend, the waitress who was serving him. And he said, "Well, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I can't tip you, but I'll give you half of the lottery winnings.
Yeah,
tomorrow if we win $6 million." He won the next day. Stayed true to his word.
Amazing.
And he gave his friend who he didn't
fair
tip
play.
$3 million.
Okay, yeah. That I mean that's not just a little act of kindness.
I know, but I'm saying some acts of kindness can change lives forever.
So you said that was a movie. That's based on a true story, I guess.
That particular part of the story. The elsewhere where the film then goes is creative license.
Speaking of movie stars, you see a lot of nowadays about Keanu Reeves being one of these.
People say he's absolutely lovely.
Yeah, just constantly does these really quiet acts of giving.
Well, you'd have to, because I think if you take the footballer Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's likes to be liked, shall we say, which is fair enough, I suppose. But guys like him, obviously they earn, you know, untold millions and so on. But you do actually, if you scratch the surface, and they're not usually putting them out there, or maybe subtly, I suppose, if I find out, but paying for people's surgery, all this kind of stuff. I know they get bombarded, these people, with all sorts of stuff. But these are acts of kindness which change lives.
Have you guys heard that? Is it Bill Poult, the millionaire who gives away money on Twitter?
No.
So he's
He inherited
a lot of money, but he also made his own money, and I think he wants to give away $1 million on Twitter. So what he'll do is, most days he'll say, if you retweet this, or if it's your birthday and you retweet it, then I'll give you $10,000, or I'll do that as well. And his idea is that he just wants to give away he says I've got a lot of wealth, and I just want to bless or give it away to people that need it as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's really good. He is definitely worth following.
No, I'd say so, yeah.
Do you want to hear a story that someone sent in?
Please
do. Of course.
Which it reminded me, because you were talking about Disneyland. So Joe O'Shaughnessy, and Joe, I keep apologising to people. I'm sorry. Sorry if I said your name wrong.
It is Joe.
Also, someone on one of the last episodes actually messaged in and said, no one ever says my name right. You're the first person that said it right on the first go.
Was it you or me?
It was me.
Oh, well played.
Back off.
Sorry.
1-0.
So Joe said that a couple paid for his in-laws, I think, part of their honeymoon. So the story here, he said, they got married on a shoestring budget and went to Crete on a cheap honeymoon. Another couple, who were older, befriended them one day and invited them for food in a rather posh place. They started ordering lots of starters, some fine bottles of wine. My father-in-law was too polite to do anything like a typical Brit, so enjoyed it, knowing that the meal would max out everything they had. At the end of the meal, the gentleman went to the toilet and his wife joined him away from the table. After some time, they were getting a bit worried, so they spoke to the waiter, who said the bill had already been taken care of. They were gobsmacked by the generosity, and it still brings them to tears 30 plus years later.
Wow.
They vowed to do the same to another couple to pass on the good deed.
How about that?
I have a friend who does that on a regular basis.
Really?
Yeah. He will go for dinner or something with friends, and all of a sudden, before you know it, and he's not super rich at all, he just lives this life where he really believes, you know, if we could be generous to each other, then actually, and I think he's more than said, like, I'm sure there'll be a time when I need some help and that, you know, it'll come back to me as well.
Well, like, generosity is such an attractive feature in people. Like, when people are, like, our vicar, he said a number of times, like, try and always be the first person to pick up the bill or to go and buy the drinks. Yeah. You know, that is just the best thing. You know, you want to be known as that person, not as the person who always hangs back and...
Absolutely.
You know, and don't get me wrong,
there are times... Should be on-the-spot fines for people who don't come up.
Well, now you get into a police state. I mean, that's... if you're not kind, you get punished. Kindness shouldn't be obligation.
I did a tiny bit of research beforehand, and on the kind of concept of giving and that, there's loads of scientific work been done on it. And apparently, physiologically, when we do something altruistic and we give, then there's the same part of our brain lights up and starts to become active as the part of the brain that gets happy when you've eaten or through drugs, and drugs are bad, or through sex. Like, there's a physiological reaction within us when we do something good. That's why we feel so good. But the problem is that often, you know, if we do these acts, some of us do it as once every now and then in a blue moon, and I forget to do it again. And actually, it does benefit the giver. We know that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like a muscle, right? Like, you've got to keep using it. And it's about, like, creating a kind of atmosphere in which it's just, like, the normal thing to do. And like we were saying, it's infectious. You see someone doing it and you're like, oh, yeah. Or like those people who someone did something for them and they then wanted to do something else.
I found that there's a couple of times where people have done something very kind for me. It's actually helped to either create or build a relationship and a friendship. So I have, where I live, I had a flat tire and I walked to the local mechanic and I just said to him, you know, what do I do? And he just straight away just gave me this portable tire inflator thing. But I could have nicked it and run away. And he was just like, please come back. I do trust you.
Yeah.
And so I did it and then took the car around. But then from there, I've massively trusted him ever since. And like built a friendship with him, and you know, I go around for a chat all the time. And there's been another time I remember going camping with some friends to some festival, and we turned up in the middle of the night, and then again this random guy just started to help us put the tent in the middle of the night. We wake up the next morning, he's cooking us sausages, and then we became friends afterwards.
Yeah,
it was really interesting. Like when I was thinking about this show, I was like, when people do that, you then just feel like, oh, you sound like quite a nice guy, or, you know, woman, I'd like to get to know
you. Yeah, it's a shame you stole your alcohol, though. But, you know, I agree. But it was funny you say about the change in the tyre. Yeah, my wife and I, we had a flat tyre. And we were in London, actually, in central London. And
well, that's not a good place to have a flat tire.
Oh, well, no, it was in a residential street, but it was opposite a pub. And so I was, you know, getting the tire off and putting the spare one on. And this guy from the pub just came over and was like, are you okay? Do you know what you're doing? And I was a bit like, just about, thank you. I may need you. Fortunately, I didn't.
You're watching a YouTube video.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm fine.
Yeah, no, I did. We did manage to change the tire ourselves.
Did you?
No, I did manage to do it, believe it or not. I'm not particularly practical, but I managed that one. But again, he just went, well, I'm over here if you need me. And it's that sort of togetherness. Yeah. It's that kind of you're not alone. And I forget which one of you said about the loneliness and so on.
Yeah.
When you just know that actually there are good people there, that if you fall over, someone may help you up, or if you need your rabbits moved from one platform to the other, someone
will be there.
Do you know what
you.
I mean?
Yeah.
So there we are. So kindness is very important.
Extremely.
So we should do it more, damn it all.
Be kind.
Yeah. Stop being stingy with your kindness, you so-and-so.
And carry someone's rabbits.
Them out for free.
Well, I'll leave that up to you, to your own opinions there. But thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. If you want to get in touch or, you know, get involved in some of the questions, then we're on Insta and Twitter, of course, at AQQAPod. There we are. To subscribe to the podcast, for crying out loud.
Please.
We don't want you to miss an episode.
Tell your friends.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.